Well, happy seventh day on the count going toward the Feast of Pentecost. In other words, we're on the way there. We're taking off and we are working and we are continuing to put the leavening out of our lives. Now, interestingly, when you look at what God has set up from the very beginning, we can find that the first half of what God was doing was at the physical level, meaning that God made Adam and Eve and they were physical, but they were made to become like God, because God says, I'm going to create man in my image after my likeness. So what we're seeing now, you know, through the years, is the work going on that God started with Adam and Eve. And he had certain ideas along the way as far as his people that he was going to be using. And especially primarily referred to as the first fruit. The first fruits of what he was doing. And, of course, it's going to continue on. And so what we've got to do, and what I have in my mind, made up my mind even years ago, whenever we were keeping, back in 1957, the Feast of Unleavened Bread, and I made up my mind then that I had to realize I had to search for and look for what you would call wrong teachings. At the spiritual level, even. Wrong teachings of what people were following and going by. And we came out with all kinds of things. In fact, we kept the Feast of Pentecost, a very important feast day, 50 days later from the wave sheaf offering during the beginning of the days of unleavened bread, because we did eat unleavened bread at the Passover itself. And so I have to realize, as I had mentioned even at that time, the separate day was at the beginning of a seven-day period, making 8 days. And the Feast of Tabernacles is 8 days, begins with 7 days, and ends with the eighth day, which, of course, would complete the plan of God and what God was doing, because all of the feast days do picture and to look forward to what God is doing and what God is accomplishing. What we've got to do is to make sure that we follow Jesus' example when he said, beware of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. Now, we can interpret that, even to this day, to beware of the Pharisees and the Sadducees that we have living today. And, of course, they have other names. You have people who are called Bible scholars. I remember just recently even listening to and hearing what someone was saying in the world system. And I see the world system meaning you have other religions in this world today in the house of Israel. As part of the house of Israel. We have to understand and recognize that God's people Israel through the years grew. In fact, if you go back and read the scriptures, you'll find that they were to actually encircle the earth, the globe. But those people should have passed on what God taught them, because they were the nucleus of what's coming in the future. And when you get to the New Testament time, then you find that Jesus himself, who was a Jew from the tribe of Judah, yet his line goes back to Abraham, as verse 1 of Matthew says. Matthew 1, verse 1 says that Jesus, the son of David, who was a Jew, and then the son of Abraham. So God went way back to Abraham, because Abraham was very faithful. In fact, I believe that, that God used that in the sense that Abraham, as far as we know, we don't know what kind of trials God gave to some of the other leaders in the very beginning. But we know that he gave to Abraham the standing of whether or not he would sacrifice his firstborn son. And he proceeded to do so. And God actually stopped him and told him that he could sacrifice an animal instead back at that time. So then God knew Abraham's heart was correct and right in obeying God and obeying Him. That's what the Father, through Jesus Christ, found out. And He's finding that out even right now with all of us. Interestingly, too, as well, when I took a look at it years and years ago, I said, why are we doing what we're doing now? Why are we going to this world? Why is a broadcast going forth that says, this is the good news of the soon coming kingdom of God? And why do we talk about Israel? Why do we talk about the rest of the world, which would mean the Gentiles? Because the word Gentile just means other nations other than Israel. And so you have the representation of the other sons that came from Noah. But God worked actually through the one son that turns out to be Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and Joseph, and Ephraim, and Manasseh. Okay, now what I'm talking about today is the fact that we actually go on, we continue on to make sure that we don't allow any leavening of this world's system to come into the church of God. Now, I'll give you an example of that, too, as well. It started years and years ago, and it started before, actually, the Church of God, or the Radio Church of God, I should say, where you go on the computer systems, if you can believe what's on the computer system, because it's also full of leavening, too, of what people's ideas were in the 1800s, 1700s, and the preachers who were preaching in those particular years, leading up to our time today. So you'll find that they had leavening that they were passing on. And we had leavening in the beginning of the Radio Church of God, the leavening of keeping Pentecost, the 50th day, on another day of the week, rather than the one God says to keep it on. And so therefore, we had to, and we did. It took us a long time. It took us a long time to come actually to the decision that that was wrong. And so therefore, we turned it around and brought the truth back into the church. Now, that's very important because we have said in times past also, trying to use Isaiah and other scriptures back there, that we were going to flee to Petra. That we're going to flee, and all the churches are going to gather together in that little valley of Petra and over near below Amman, Jordan, in the mountains there. And we said, we're going to be there, and Christ is going to come and teach us for 3.5 years. That was leavening. That was leavening. It was interesting that we said something that God didn't say. We said something that Jesus was going to come before He comes. You think about that. Because after Jesus died and was accepted by His Father above all the heavens to sit at the right hand of His Father, according to Ephesians, the book of Ephesians, you will find that whenever that happened, He wasn't going to keep returning, even though we say, like, for instance, he came down and taught Paul for 3.5 years. How did he do that? See, how did he teach him? Did he teach him from above? Or was he in the presence of a man talking to Paul? I think if you go back and read chapters 8 and 9 of the book of Acts, I think you'll find that God called Paul from the heavens. Now, he could appear as a spirit being or somebody who was bright. But as a physical human being, there's a different story. So where does it say he's going to teach us for 3.5 years? See, a lot of things happened along the way. Did it damper the church? No, the church grew. Because the church recognized what it was taking on and they started putting it out if it is leavening. So our thing to do today, what we should be doing today in God's church, is to continue on. Continue on with the process that we started with the first holy days, and the process would be the Passover, which is referring to Jesus Christ having giving his life for us, and was the one who took away all of the leavening that we had before, that is, all of our sins, all of the things we did wrong. And through the rest of the days of unleavened bread, we continue to strive to put out all of the things that are wrong and that are not correct with the Scripture. That's what we've got to do. That's our minds, and our minds have to be cleaned up for that. So that when we're talking to somebody, it just automatically comes to us what the Scripture says. And we pass that on in maybe different words, but it's still the same thing. Because that's what our mind is full of. So if you're going to say that Peter was a place of safety, why don't we get rid of that leavening and just say that the church of God, a spiritual church, is the place of safety. You're safe in the church of God. In other words, you're in a place where you're going to hear and you're going to learn God's way. And so sometimes we say, well, wait a minute. What about the fact that since the time that the quote unquote radio church of God started back in the 30s and ended about 1967, I believe it was, 67, 68, where we actually were able to use the name the Worldwide Church of God. Before that, we couldn't get it because it was taken by someone else, I believe down near Chattanooga. It had the Worldwide Church of God. And so therefore, once a title, as far as our nation is concerned or our country is concerned, you can't use it if someone else has it, has that particular name. Now, we know that God had it to start with. But the point of it was, we changed it to Worldwide Church of God, and we still are a church that's worldwide. It continues on. So we have to understand that what we represent and what we preach and what we teach is according to God's Word. And if it's not, we clean it out. We get rid of it. We get rid of all the leavening that keeps trying to come in. So our responsibility and job is, even in the place of safety, if you want to look at it that way, and I'm engaging it that way, that the Church of God is the place where bona fide, Spirit-led members of the family of God as first fruits are located today. And it's a responsibility for us to accomplish what God instructs us to do as His church. Because Jesus Christ fulfilled what His Father said in the New Testament time, Matthew 18. He began to build the spiritual church of God. What's interesting is that He literally took 12 men from where? From Israel. From the tribe of Judah. You notice that the tribe of Judah is mentioned a lot through the New Testament, but it's also mentioned in the Old Testament as well as being a factor in what God was doing. And Jesus came from the tribe of Judah. But He's also an Israelite because Judah came from Israel. And so therefore, He was an Israelite, but He also was a Jew. And even Paul came along, who was given the responsibility of going to the other nations. The Bible refers to as the Gentiles. And his responsibility was to get that same message for a purpose to the other nations. Now, God called Israel his firstborn into the family. And scripturally speaking, you're going to find that it's going to go in line with what the Scripture says. If you hear other things, they had better match what the Scripture says. In fact, my wife and I had just happened, I think I mentioned this before, but we happened to listen to someone at the Feast of Tabernacles, and they apparently had been reading our literature, and whenever they got to the place where you're going to die or the end of the world comes, they said, when you die, you're going to go straight to heaven. I said, oh. They added the doctrine of the Sadducees to our doctrine of the truth that they got out of our booklets. So they had leavening mixed with that. How could you do that, especially if the book of Corinthians, as well as Romans and several other places in the Bible too as well, talks about that fact and talks about the fact that God himself says what's to take place and what will take place, and we can believe that. But as far as what humans say, we have to make sure that it doesn't have leavening mixed with it, because God will not accept that. That's right. They won't accept that. We have to get rid of the leavening. And it's through Christ that we get rid of it. And the rest of the time we are spending, which we're continuing on now, because each of the Holy Day periods picture what God is accomplishing on the earth. And we know that he accomplished cleaning up all of our sins through Jesus Christ. We know that for 7 days we practiced putting leavening out of our lives, both physically and spiritually. Remember I said God started off with the physical, but he ended with the spiritual. The understanding of the spiritual, and for those who have ears to hear and who are called to be able to see that, can understand. The others still don't understand the difference. In fact, in your religions of the world today, you find that because of the physical part, they spend more time doing all these physical things, but there's no spiritual content to what they're doing. So you have to understand that, and I know you do, as those who have God's Holy Spirit, you do understand that. So, my purpose today is to help to understand, see that the Church of God will lead us today through the power of Jesus Christ and God our Father, will lead us for perfection until the time comes that we're to be accepted as the first fruits of God into his family. And that's what the 50th day pictures. It's referred to as the Feast of the First Fruits. So whenever the children of Israel went into the promised land, they first of all planted a crop. And at the count that God instructed Moses to give them, you're to count 50 days, and then you are to gather in all of your crops and put them in the barn. So it became an analogy, even in the Church of God. Does it have breakdowns in certain areas? Yes, because we're still striving to perfect what God has given us, so that when we are arriving in the family of God, we'll be able to continue on without having any imperfections. Can you imagine God allowing leavening into the kingdom of God? He's not going to do that. Leavening is not going to be there. So all that we say and do and have in our computers by that time, because the other part's been deleted. You know, all of our sins were deleted when Jesus Christ died for us. And as time goes on, if we do sin, we repent and we ask God to forgive us, and those are deleted. And we continue on towards perfection. And that's what we need to keep in mind. So we need to continue to keep leavening out, and also continue to eat the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. That's what we need to continue to do. Now let's go back, and I know that many of us have had questions concerning what happened in the Old Testament and even leading up to the New Testament, and I will cover parts of that as we go through this sermon today too as well, because we need to understand that we have to recognize what has to be put out, but also to cling to the righteousness that God has given to us. We've got to cling to it, something that we hold on to, something that we want and desire and enjoy, because it gives us life. It gives us enjoyment of life. Do you think God and Jesus Christ enjoy life? Yes, because they're totally perfect. And they have enjoyment with all they're doing. And especially in this particular part of bringing in to the family of God, the firstborn and then later on, the others that will also be born into the family of God. Let's go back to Ezekiel, the first chapter. Ezekiel, the first chapter. And let's understand what God was doing here. And I would say ahead of time with this, is that you have some people who will take the book of Ezekiel and give you their understanding of what it is saying. And of course, our responsibility as spirit begotten and soon to be born into the family of God, our responsibility is to read it, knowing that through the power of God, through the power of the Holy Spirit, you'll be able to see, as you read the scriptures, the difference between right and wrong. Notice what it says here in verse 1. It came to pass in the 13th year and the 4th month in the 5th day of the month, I was among the captives by the river Kebar. And the heavens were opened and I saw visions of God. Now that's Ezekiel 1:1. And what's interesting as well is the fact that right now, I can go to a book written by theologians to explain to me verse 1. And you'd be surprised what they add to verse 1. Certain understandings that they somehow were able to come up with by reading certain sources or passing on certain sources to come up with the answer to this. And most of the time what they're going to say is the fact that this was written in 591 B.C. Was it? Can you prove that? Is that really important even? What we know is that it was written. And God wrote it. Jesus himself said that. He said all the things that we have read in the Bible leading up to Jesus' time, which was the Old Testament, because the New Testament wasn't written yet, was written by God. Because God did everything through Jesus Christ, including everything that happened in the Old Testament, including the physical part that's leading up to the spiritual part. And they want to say that also 585 had to be involved too as well of the Jewish captivity of where these things are coming from. Okay, now we say in our minds, well, maybe that's important. Maybe we need to know the timing of some of these things. You could say it might be interesting, but you should always say too as well that this might be the answer. It's something that someone wrote who thought that that might be the answer based on what someone else wrote and what history even in some cases wrote. But if you go back and read a lot of the history, you'll find that it has its errors too. Because like even in certain books written by Jewish scholars, they too include what they want in. But remember this, that the Pharisees were of that whole branch too as well. The Pharisees were hypocrites of that branch. The Sadducees, the Pharisees, and the Sadducees. The Pharisees sat in Moses' seat, did they? And they passed on the word of God and then come down from that seat of Moses and then explain what they think it meant. And then some people take that and pass that on. And so we have some errors along the way that get passed on to us. And this has been, unfortunately, the weak point in some people's lives, because all of a sudden, like for instance, you'd have some people who would say, well, this must not be the Church of God because we kept the Feast of Pentecost the 50th day on the wrong day. So we're going to leave because it's not right. Does that mean you have to leave the church? If it's a bona fide church of God, the church of God does make mistakes from time to time at the physical level. And in some cases, some things are carried on. So therefore, we're having right now, and I'm bringing this out because of the fact that since the time of the starting of the radio church of God, and which became the worldwide church of God later on, and then several other names came along as a result of a major change in the Church of God, with people who were trying to bring in a lot of leavening into the church. And I remember to this day one of the professors that they had brought in actually from Greece had been preaching and teaching there in Pasadena, and some wanted him to start doing away with and not preaching about the holy days any longer. So here was leavening beginning to come into the church. And he said, that's what brought me into the church of God, was to understand what the holy days picture. And so they sent him back to Greece, because he refused to preach it, what they wanted him to preach. So we have to understand and realize that in the church of God, you're going to have leavening coming in, leavening being put out. There's a process of time when God works with his people. So we have to understand and realize that if you and I are in the church of God, even though some mistakes are made along the way, doesn't make it cease to be the church of God. Go back and read what Paul had to write to all the people in the church of God. They allowed, in chapter 5 of 1 Corinthians, they allowed leavening to be practiced in the church when they should have put out the person who was going against God's law until they repented. Until they repented. And then they could be accepted back. Because when they repent of something like that, the same sacrifice that we all had and have was used for their sins to be blotted out. Even Paul, who was very, very strong in what he was doing, even brought people in to be killed. So Paul, who was a very fervent in carrying out what he thought he should have been doing, broke God's law, but God forgave him too. God forgave him, and he continued on and wrote about 14 books of the New Testament. So God used him. So is the church of God perfect today? Let's put it this way. God's church is being perfected. God's church is being perfected. And being perfected means then that you're removing all the leavening out. And you're continuing on with that leavening process until the first part of God's plan is fulfilled. So we have to understand that part. Now let's go a little further here in the book of Ezekiel to chapter 2. To chapter 2. And beginning in verse 1. And this, of course, was Ezekiel's commission. And for a while in the Church of God, when we came in way back in the 50s, it was referred to as Ezekiel work. The Ezekiel work being done. Actually, it was God's work being done. And Ezekiel was doing God's work. But that was the work that God chose Ezekiel to do. He said to me, Son of man, stand on your feet and I'll speak to you. And of course, he was in the captivity. That's why I read the verse 1 of the other chapter. And the Spirit entered into me when he spoke to me and set me upon my feet. So he had spiritual power helping him at that point, and that I heard him that spoke to me, and he said to me, Son of man, I send you to the children of Israel, a perfect group of people. Is that what it says? Doesn't say that, does it? To a rebellious nation. A rebellious nation that had rebelled against me. You know, one of the things I saw in the earlier years of the Church of God was those that God was calling were strong people. in the faith. And they were willing to do anything to serve God, including selling their home and giving all the money to the work, which that happened in the very beginning of the work. And people today give their lives earning for the keeping of the Church of God going. There are sacrifices that we do to go on. But these people here began to rebel against that. Began to rebel against it. And when we made mistakes along the way and tried to preach and tried to force people to obey even physical things like celebrating a birthday, we lost a lot of people in the Church of God over that particular quote-unquote doctrine, which we really couldn't prove. If you go back to the book of Job, you can't see that Job fasted because his sons were breaking God's law and observing birthdays. He doesn't say that at all. He just fasted just in case they were disobedient, that God would be merciful. That's what Job was doing at that particular time. So what we're going through is that we see words like this to a rebellious people. Verse 4, it says, they are impotent children, stiff-hearted, and you shall say to them, thus says the Lord God. So what I'm saying here then is the fact that Ezekiel points out certain things for the future. And it all centers around the house of Israel. Centers around the house of Israel. Go you to the house of Israel. And the house of Israel consisted of 12 tribes, not one tribe. Consisted of 12 tribes. And then, of course, the half-tribe Manasseh because of a twofold promise that God gave to Joseph as well. As we'll see as time goes on here in the sermon. And what I have to say here to you today, taken from the Scriptures, that's up to you to believe or to follow through unless you find, and I would appreciate it very much, that if you find things that I'm saying are leavening, let me know. And I'll check it out. And if it is, I will dismiss it from my mind. See, we have to understand that we're all in a growing process. There's nothing wrong with working with one another, not challenging one another, but working with one another and peacefully doing as one is instructed to do as we go through this life in the Church of God, which is getting us ready for being part of the very family of God. It's very important for us to continue to see that and to understand it and believe it, as the Scripture says for us to believe it. I'll go on now to Genesis, the 28th chapter. Genesis, the 28th chapter. Because so many times we don't get the background that we ought to be getting. Genesis, the 28th chapter, and beginning in verse 13. Genesis 28, and beginning in verse 13. Says, and behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord God of Abraham. Now, this is when Jacob was praying and looking to what God wanted him to do. And I am the Lord God of Abraham, your father, the God of Isaac. And the land where you lie, to you I will give it, and to your seed. To your seed. So God is setting apart now those that he wants part of his family as his firstborn son. That's what he's setting apart. And your seed shall be as the dust of the earth, and you shall spread abroad to the west, to the east, to the north, to the south. And in you and in your seed shall all the families of the earth be blessed. So we find places like Australia, where people are serving God, and Palestine, of Jerusalem area. There are some people there who are serving God. Not very many, but there are some who are doing that. In fact, it was the sons of God from Joseph that actually set up and gave that whole land to Israel today, and what they refer to as the state of Israel today. And they were involved with that, as I will show you as we go through. And to the north and the south and in your seat shall all the families of the earth be blessed. And verse 18 says, Jacob rose up early in the morning and took the stone that he had put for his pillows and set it up for a pillar and poured oil upon it. And that to this day is still noted in the son of Ephraim. Son of Ephraim from Joseph. And it's in the area of what we refer to now as Great Britain, or used to refer to it as Britain, and that area, and referred to them as the one that God blessed. So we have to understand that, too, that God set it up that way. So I'm just showing you how we can look and see and not allow leavening to come in to take that apart. Now, when my wife and I were on the world trip one time, when we got to England, and I was speaking there to the church in England, I think it was the North Church, I forgot, maybe it was the only church at that time that existed in that area, and I had mentioned about Jacob's pillow stone, and one of the brethren there had a document about a half an inch thick of papers that proved and showed the migration of the children of Israel and the migration of those particular sons of Ephraim, and landed there in that particular area, and they still have in Scotland that stone. Now, we would say today, oh, well, maybe that really isn't that. That's a lot of fictitious things. Now, you have to understand that when you put it all together, put the whole picture together, that's what you see. And, of course, there's an argument now. Some ministers are preaching out there in the world system, and some who used to be a part of the worldwide church, and they're preaching that the difference is that England is Manasseh and America is Ephraim. And so you say, okay, here's a little bit of leavening, maybe a whole lot of leavening, depending on what's being promoted with that, because the ones that God said was going to be nations around this world was the younger son of Joseph. And the older son of Joseph was to give the one big plot called America today, Manasseh. And just because we have 50 states does not mean that we're spread all over. We're only spread all over in one area of property, which is called the United States of America. America that is united. And, of course, they came away from the other son, which is referred to as Ephraim in the Bible, was to have areas like Canada. All of Canada was owned by the Queen. And the same thing with Australia. When I was in the Navy, we pulled into New Zealand, even though we did pull into Sydney, Australia, too, as well. We found that both places had the Queen's dock. So I was able in New Zealand to be on the ship that docked at the Queen's dock. So that really meant a lot to me in the sense I was studying the Bible and looking and seeing what God had given to these people. And the same thing with Australia too as well. And then you have South Africa, which is Ephraim, also as well British. In other words, they are the point that they picked up. The islands, you find some islands in the Pacific Ocean, they belong to Britain, and others to America. So the two sons, you see, handle the whole world. That's right, the whole world. That's what we've got to keep in mind. But Israel stands out. Because it always goes back, even Jesus the Jew, but also the Savior of the world, he goes back and says his line goes back to Abraham. And of course, Abraham goes back to Adam through Noah, because that came over to this world today, which actually showed me a tremendous thing happened where God literally got to the place where leavening had gotten so bad, it had permeated permeated the entire world, except for a few chosen people, and maybe only one, maybe two. Finally, with Noah, that was going to start off with the new world. God destroyed the whole world and brought in the new world. And there's indications in the last part of Revelation, God will do the same thing again. How many times he'll have to do that in the process of what he's doing, we will understand then. Sometimes we can look forward and say, this might happen, that might happen. But do not bring leavening into the picture by saying this will happen, unless you have specific biblical proof from the Word of God that says that it will happen. And so the book of Ezekiel gives us a lot of things, and Genesis also as well, leading up to it, to understand what God is doing in our time today. In our time today, a lot of time has passed through the years. So the church of God, being the place of safety, the spiritual church of God is what I'm referring to, that Matthew, the 18th chapter, talks about, 16th, 18th, where Jesus started the church. Jesus started the church of God, and it's going to continue until it's finished, because Jesus himself chose the 12 who were going to be over the house of Israel that's mentioned back in the Old Testament. It's going to be over the house of Israel. And you're going to find each one of the sons are going to be involved too as well. That includes the son of Joseph, and Joseph is given a double reward. Not only is he one of the 12, his two sons are involved, and one of them becomes one of the 12. Because the original 12, one of them failed, the tribe of Dan. So therefore, God blessed Joseph, and it does say in the scripture a prophetic thing of saying that he would be doubly blessed. And so he would be through his children too, as well. So that's scripture. That's not leavening, that is scripture. Now, if you see leavening somewhere, let me know. Let me know what you're seeing. So we find then in Matthew, the 10th chapter. Matthew, the 10th chapter. Go back to Matthew. Again, Jesus continues on with this important thing, which is valid for us today too as well. Matthew, the 10th chapter. And it's a process of time, as I've said before, that brings in the new family. The one thing I started out with yesterday is something we need to think about as we go along, is that God is in the process of accomplishing something. And when he says in there the Passover, the days of unleavened bread, and the 50th day, which is named Pentecost in the New Testament. Pentecost in the New Testament. I don't know, maybe someone could give me some information on this. What was the 50th in Hebrew? Because the Old Testament was written in Hebrew. New Testament written in Greek. And so therefore, the 50th day in Greek is Pentecost. The 50th. That's what it means. The 50th. So it's important along the way that the 50th be noted, along with the others as well, because we have to have the first one to start with, the Passover, because all sins have to be forgiven. And then you have a process of repenting and putting all of the things that are wrong out of one's life. And then it's completed on the 50th day. It's completed on the 50th day. It's just like, for instance, on the 50th day in the Old Testament, they gathered in all of the food and put it into the barn. And in one place, it's even referred to as God's barn. Now, that could also mean that the tithes of all of that going into the barn too as well, to carry on the work of God. Because all of it back in that time, you can read all the way through on those, and you'll find that the people did what they did because it was carrying on the work of God. They would sell their homes, they would give all huge donations to the work during David's time even, and it was for helping the rest of the world. So we have in our mind right now that the Father gave His Son for the whole world. His whole world. So the interesting part about it is that salvation has to do with our mental attitude as well as looking at it. We're not selfish. We don't think we're somebody. There are some people say, well, you really think you're somebody. And some said, well, how is he think we're somebody? Because you keep bringing out the fact that you're going to be kings and priests with Jesus Christ. Well, that's true because God has revealed that. He hasn't revealed it to them, or they wouldn't be challenging us. So you have to understand that when someone sees in their life the change that takes place in their life, all the blessings that take place in their life, then they understand and know who they are. There are some who look at it the fake way, but it doesn't last that long. Pretty soon it's gone. So we have to recognize that. So notice what it says in Matthew 10. When he had called to him his 12 disciples, and after the other account says that he had prayed all night to his Father before he chose them. So this was the will of the Father that he chose 12 disciples. That's a long way from the time of Moses. Quite a few thousands of years before God finally chose the 12 that's going to be over the house of Israel. And even the book of Genesis, of course, where it talks about it. 12 disciples, he gave them power against unclean spirits. Kind of interesting way that was put too, unclean spirits. Unclean spirits, they are spirits who are full of spiritual leavening. Away from God. In fact, one third of the angels followed the one who led the way in that rebellion. And you would have thought, even at the spirit level, in the training of that group of beings that God was working with, they would see the blessings that they had, the brightness of their stars that they had. They didn't. They changed, and they followed another direction. And became full of leavening. And God said power to go against these unclean spirits and the power that they're using to get people to change. Cast them out to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. All of these are showing what the good new world is going to be like. He's telling you what's going to happen. We're going to have a cleanup. It's going to be a perfect world that we're going to be into and be a part of. And, of course, he goes through all the names, Simon, Peter, and Andrew, his brother, and James, and John, and Philip, and Bartholomew, Thomas, Matthew, James, Thaddeus, and Simon the Canaanite. These 12, Jesus sent them forth and commanded them, gave them strong instruction. The word command means strong instruction. Emphatic instruction. As you go preach, saying that the kingdom of heaven is at hand. But who did he go to say that message? Go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. He said, don't go in the way of the Gentiles. In verse 5, don't go in the way of the Gentiles or any of the city of the Samaritans enter you not. You know, what's interesting, if you go back and do a research of the Bible, you will find that back during Jeroboam's time, that the house of Israel wound up with the 10 tribes wound up in Samaria. They were in Samaria. But they became polluted in Samaria. And gradually, as some of the Gentile kings came in and took them into captivity, they spread out through the rest of the world from that point. They never came back to that area. So what is in Samaria? In other words, what was in Samaria by the time of Philip's time? Because the angel said, I want you to go to Samaria and preach. But he was preaching, you see, the good news of the soon coming kingdom of God to this earth. But he says, go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And as you go saying, preach, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. The kingdom of God is at hand. Now let's go to Romans, now the first chapter. Romans, the first chapter. And we will see that the Apostle Paul, who was involved in writing this book with the help of God, guiding and directing him to write this book, notice what it says. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God. Now, there were already 12 apostles. But even Paul himself was inspired of God to say that, first of all, God set apostles in the church, and then he set prophets in the church, and then he set evangelists in the church, and then he set pastors in the church. So Paul understood the alignment of what God was doing with the church, the spiritual church, and even mentioned that Jesus was the chief cornerstone of the church. That's what Paul had to say. And so you look at this and you say, separated him to do the gospel. In other words, to preach the gospel. Now let's go to Romans, the 11th chapter now. Romans, the 11th chapter. Romans, the 11th chapter. And notice what it says. I say then, has God cast away his people? God forbid, for I am an Israelite. I am an Israelite of the seed of Abraham. Notice where Paul went back to. The seed of Abraham. And of the tribe of Benjamin. And so therefore, Israel didn't come along until several sons later from Abraham, but yet it goes back to Abraham. Because that's how God was working. And God has not cast away his people, which he foreknew. Verse 2. Don't you understand what the scripture says in Isaiah? How he makes intercession to God against Israel, saying, Lord, they have killed your prophets and digged down your altars, and I'm left alone, and they seek my life. But what said the answer that God gave to him? And this is in the Old Testament as well, as you know, during Elijah's time. I have reserved to myself 7,000 men who have not bowed to the image of Baal. 7,000. I don't know what today the Church of God, a worldwide association, I don't know how many we have totally, approximately as far as attending church, around 10 million around the world, 10,000, pardon me. See, I made a mistake. A little bit of leavening crept in, didn't it? Now, in other words, we have to recognize that that does happen. You'd like for it to be larger than it is. In other words, for the future, maybe we need to look at that. The growth patterns of what's going to be happening, because as time goes on, we're going to see a difference in that. And we could say today that these people we have today, 10,000 people, are they bowing to Baal? See, we don't know how many that God even has other. Now, other than that, let's just take, for instance, what about the separation of those people who started their own churches to the extent, as I understand it, someone told me just recently, there's about 300 different churches out there that continue to keep the holy days, that try to keep all of God's laws and commandments. They just didn't like what they said was some leavening within the church, so they separated themselves to become their own church without God's permission. Now, I'm the one that added that, without God's permission, because the one thing that I noticed all along, by the fruits of individuals, that you can pretty well see for sure by the examples and also by the fruits of those individuals, that God did send them. See, some people get up and say, well, God sent me to come over here. Well, why would you even have to say that? Just go over there and do what God says to do. Are you trying to vaunt yourself up, as I had mentioned before? For some reason, some people, you give them a job to do and they want to get to the top. They want to go to the top. So, well, I'm better than anybody else and I want to be the top of all of this. Well, you got to see the error in that. That's leavening of the mind. We don't vaunt ourselves and put ourselves up. Like, for instance, back during the time when the church was breaking apart, and my wife and I happened to be in Pasadena. We were transferred back in 1990 to Pasadena. And the church was beginning to break apart even at that time because a huge amount of leavening. Several teachings were beginning to make its way into the Church of God at that time. And I refused to go along with those teachings. And I was working in letter answering department, and they wanted me to teach their new doctrines. I said, I can't do that. I can't write those things because that's not what the Scripture says. So leavening began to come in even then into the Church of God at the top, or at least the place where the headquarters was for the church. And so you find that, yes, some of the people who left the church individually, because I said to the people who asked me, I said, I cannot, because they wanted me to start a church. And I said, I cannot start a church. They said, well, why can't you? I said, God hasn't told me to yet. I said, if God told me to, I would. If he would send Gabriel or Michael and come down and say, look, this is what God wants you to do. Don't you think God still works that way? Well, if you don't think so, then you better go and read the whole story of Peter when he was rejecting the Gentiles, and God showed him that he shouldn't do that by appearing as an angel. Now, whether it was God or God sent an angel, because God did send an angel to Daniel, so I believe that he will again. I believe God will be involved again at that level even. And that you're going to see, because remember, the Bible prophesies ahead of time. Be careful who you're entertaining, because you might be entertaining an angel that I've sent unawares. So you better be careful. You better look and see what you're doing, etc. So we grow. We grow, and we all should be interested in wanting to accomplish and finish the work God has given us to do. And in the process of that, the part that's really realistic and something that we need to really think deeply about is ourselves personally being ready for that time and ready to be accepted as being part of the very family of God. So we look in the mirror all the time. As Paul said, sometimes we just barely see sometimes, but we need to look in the mirror of our lives and see where we've grown. And if you feel that in your life you've tried to get to the top wrongfully, then you need to look in the mirror and say, look, don't do that anymore. Don't carry out that. Try to be humble and try to serve God in a humble way. That's what all of our lives are about. And then it goes on to say, what then, verse 7, Israel has not obtained that which he seeks for, but the election has obtained it, and the rest were blinded. Okay, so now he's referring to the physical house of Israel before, and now he's also bringing in the spiritual part too, as rest, as well as for the rest of the world too. As well, because the rest of the world would not be here except for Noah and his sons. And we're only part of the part that God used genetically down through the line for the house of Israel. The rest were blinded. But there were some that made mistakes and so on. And I want to bring out, as it says here in verse 11, I say then, have they all stumbled that they should fall, or never ever have a chance? God forbid, because God's at work doing this. But rather through their temporary fall, through their fall, is come unto the Gentiles salvation unto the Gentiles. for to provoke them to jealousy. And of course, verse 13, Paul was given that office of working with the other nations, the Gentiles, referred to as Gentiles, but the other nations. And he says, I am the apostles of the Gentiles, these other nations, and I magnify my office. I'm upholding that office. I'm telling you, God sent me to do this. If by any means I may provoke to emulation them which are of my flesh, and might save some of them. For if the casting away of them be the reconciling of the world, what shall the receiving of them be but the life from the dead? Life from the dead. So if Christ, the first fruit, be holy, the lump is also holy. And that's why Peter said, you are holy. Told us we have God's Holy Spirit. And if the root be holy, so are the branches. And if some of the branches be broken off, you being, you Gentiles, being a wild olive tree, were grafted in among them. So Israel fell so that is stumbled, so that God could work with the Gentiles and to bring out of the Gentiles certain ones to become first fruits right along with Israel. But if they're grafted into Israel, they're part of Israel. In other words, they're Israel now. They're grafted in to be part of them. And with them partake you of the root of the fatness of the olive tree. Well, verse 19 says, but you will say then, the branches are broken off that I might be grafted in. Well, because of unbelief, they were broken off. Aha, that tells you why they were broken off. Of the house of Israel, they were broken off. Be not high-minded, but fear. For if God spared not the natural branches, take heed lest he also spare not you. See, in other words, the Gentiles are grafted in to become part of the family, and that's why, prophetically speaking, the scripture will be fulfilled, as it says in verse 25. I would not, brethren, that you should be ignorant of this mystery. And it's through Christ, of course, that we understand that you should be wise in your own conceits, and that blindness in part has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in, and so all Israel shall be saved, as it's written, along with those grafted in as well. There shall come out of Zion the deliverer, and shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob or from Israel. So let's go now to Ezekiel, back to Ezekiel. Ezekiel, the 37th chapter. Ezekiel, 37th chapter. And you've heard what I said before concerning this. And it talks about the fact that Israel has always been involved and God has always dealt with Israel. But notice what it says in verse 16, Ezekiel 37, verse 16. Moreover, you son of man, take you one stick and write upon it, for Judah, which is one of the 12 tribe members. Judah was one of the sons of Israel, of Jacob. And for the children of Israel, his companions, the rest of the children of Israel. It's part of that first stick. With Judah at this place taking the lead for that in the prophecy. Then take another stick and write upon it for Joseph. Now Joseph was also one of the members of the 12 tribes of Israel too. But notice how it was to be meted out with that. Take for Joseph the stick of Ephraim, and for all the house of his companions. House of Israel. his companions. Again, the same thing. So in one sense, we're saying that Judah is combining with Joseph. The two sons are combining with Joseph, but it carries on even further too as well. And join them to one another to one stick, and they shall become one in your hand. And when the children of your people shall speak unto you, saying, will you not show us what you mean by this? So now let's see what the scripture says, what God meant by this. Say to them, thus says the Lord God, behold, I will take the stick of Joseph, which is in the hand of Ephraim, and the tribes of Israel, his fellows, and will put them with him, even with the stick of Judah, and make them one stick. So God used Joseph as the leader in that sense for the house of Israel, and Judah for the house of Judah. Remember, back during Jeroboam's time, when he caused Israel to sin, 10 of the tribes separated and went north to the area we just discussed earlier, and then the Judah and Benjamin stayed together, the other two sons, and also to the others, I'll have to get my mind going here again too as well, in Jerusalem or in Palestine area, as being the ones who were going to join with the rest of the tribes who are scattered around the world, with Joseph leading, which is Ephraim and Manasseh, as the ones chosen for the blessing to be passed on to by Jacob. So we have to understand, realize, the Bible clearly states certain things, and we have to put them together. It's for our growth patterns too as well. So I'm going to stop there, and this will be continued for the next time that I speak, because I feel it's very important to lead in totally to what we're accomplishing and doing, and we must make sure that it is pure on what we're doing by putting out all those things that are leavening and those thoughts and ideas that are not in groove with, nor do they match what God has to say for all of us to be involved with and to do and to accomplish for Him.